Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now!
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, you heard right. It is sex and relationship therapy time. Rachel Cook is here. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
I'm here. I'm very good. What have we got?
Now, we're talking about sex positivity. Is that right?
That is where I'm dying for it. There's loads to talk about.
There's lots in this. There's a lot. It's a minefield. But can we make sure we're all on the same page here? What's the current most accepted definition of feminism?
Oh, feminism alone. Okay, so feminism is basically about people having equal rights and opportunities regardless of their gender. It's not focused specifically on women. It's about people of all genders having equal rights and opportunities, which has historically been focused on women because, of course, for many years, for many centuries, women did not and still don't in some ways have equal rights and opportunities. So that's what we're talking about with feminism.
Okay, okay, great. So tell us about sex positive feminism. What is that?
Yeah, so sex positive feminism is something that's come up in the last few decades.
Yeah.
So it's basically the idea that nobody should be judged for their sexual desires. It's kind of the concept that stripping away the stigma that's been historically surrounding women's sexuality will liberate women to enjoy themselves without guilt or shame and help eliminate, slut shaming and victim blaming that often stops violence against women being taken seriously. So what it boils down to is not making moral judgments about people's sexual desire, respecting everyone's personal preferences and encouraging people to be kind of active agents in discovering what does and doesn't make them tick sexually. But, you know, it was a very much a political movement, and it's been credited with shattering taboos around issues like masturbation, periods, LGBTQ plus rights, female genital mutilation. Basically, it's about being into, you know, sexual pleasure and getting away from the shame of sex.
Trying to shake it off, the old shame. Now, I mean, the younger generations, they must be much more sexual. Positive and fluid now than we were years ago. Am I right?
And
they're much better at it, yeah?
Yeah, so the younger generations for sure are very much more, like only half of Generation Z identify as heterosexual now. You know, that's pretty huge. There's lots of ways that, yeah, they're just a lot more sexually fluid. 80% of baby boomers said that they were heterosexual, so it's now down to only about 50. So, they're definitely the most adventurous generation. And then there's the stat, like interesting stats, like more than 1 in 10 teenagers today claim to have had anal sex by the age of 18, according to one of the UK's national surveys of sexual attitudes and lifestyles. And that also found that people under 24 today are almost as likely as middle-aged people to have had more than 10 sexual partners. They're a lot more, in some ways, sexually active, although then there's also many that are saying, and we've talked before, Jen, about how millennials particularly are being seen as having a lot less sex. So there's a lot of different stats out there and research and surveys, but it's definitely interesting seeing the variety of changes that are happening over the generations for sure.
I wanted to ask you, because I've been hearing that there's a shift happening away from sex positivity. Is that right? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, big time. So there's a massive shift happening now. So basically, the idea is that sexual liberation is great, but in some ways we ran with that over the last couple of decades, and particularly the last decade. And then that there's this idea that we've now ended up in a model of sex that has still basically been created by men and being run by sort of mainstream porn and capitalism. So we've got to the part where you can do all of this and have sex without judgment, and you don't have to be married, and you don't have to worry about, pregnancy in the same way, and there isn't the same shame around abortion and stuff like that. But we're not really balancing that with the education or the sense of what sex really is and can be. You know, it's still very much dictated by mainstream porn. So what it's saying is that while women who enjoy rough sex and BDSM have absolutely a right to pursue it without shame, what seems to have happened is that the normalization of pain and violence in mainstream porn can provide sort of cover for some abusive people, particularly, abusive men. And it can also mean that certain women and people of all genders end up feeling very prudish for, you know, potentially refusing like dangerous sexual acts or even things that they just find uncomfortable. So the problem with sex positivity has basically been that it kind of implies to people that if you can do it, you should do it. And if, as you know, if you're sex positive, then you should be having all kinds of sex and you must enjoy it, when actually we're coming around to seeing that, you know, there's lots of reasons why people might not want to do certain things and shouldn't have to, shouldn't feel obligated to do it. So that's where this sex positive label is now sort of changing a bit.
Okay, basically. Well, that's good. I mean, what sort of research or stats are there on women experiencing unwanted choking, slapping, spitting from men?
Oh, there's loads, you know. So basically, in a lot of polls, roughly three quarters of women say that they have experienced rough or painful sex that they had not consented to, but that they often choose not to complain about it. You know, that women feel they don't want to disappoint their partner, they don't want to seem like they're bad in bed, they don't want to seem like a prude or frigid and these sorts of things, you know. And then, you know, that sex is so often physically painful that it becomes so normalised that women don't even say it, they just sort of put up with it. And, you know, how do you negotiate that if you're only 18 years old and basically the only sex that you've seen has been through mainstream porn, most likely? So, yeah, there was a study done in Britain which said that a third of British women under 40 have experienced unwanted slapping, spitting, choking or gagging in bed. And so, you know, it seems to happen not only in casual sexual encounters, but I certainly know a lot of people come to me, and there's been quite a lot of research done on how during casual sex, there's just the consent is not going on. There isn't enough communication. So things are happening between people. And often, you know, even the men themselves will say that they don't necessarily want to be doing some of these things, but they've gotten the idea from porn that this is what they should be doing.
This is what everyone's doing now. And they just start doing it without actually talking or consenting. It's actually quite frightening. Can you explain sexual entrepreneurship to me?
Yeah, so this is another idea, which is that we all have to be sexual entrepreneurs. We have to be constantly learning techniques, buying products, going to workshops, working at sex constantly in order to keep our love lives like mega spicy, show how much pleasure we're having, how successful we are at sex and how great our relationships are. And again, there's very much a capitalist aspect to this, which is like that you're buying stuff always and it's kind of serving that machine. So I think it's another concept that, not that there's anything wrong with being into sex and seeing it as being maybe a big part of your life, of your relationships, that's all great, but it's more the concept that we must be doing that in order to be seen as happy or to feel happy. And, you know, you just, sex doesn't have to be a huge part of your life if you don't want it to be. So, you know, that's the idea.
That's coming from a sex therapist. That's it. There we go. There's a pretty massive issue with porn, we know that, but what about dating apps? Have they made things even worse, do you think?
Yeah, they have, you know, but dating apps have inadvertently made people, but particularly it seems cis men, less accountable for abusive behaviour. You know, I speak to people of all genders, but particularly women who are dating men from apps and have been sexually assaulted, then find that he's deleted his profile. They don't even know his username. You know, that's the sort of thing that really, really serves a certain subset of men. And again, we're not saying this is all men. It's a certain subset of men. And so, you know, dating apps, certainly, you know, the kind of anonymous aspect, the casual aspect of being able to meet up really quickly. The point is not that dating apps should not exist. It's just that we haven't quite found a way to do it so that it's safe enough, consensual enough, that people of any gender can feel, you know, basically safe and enjoy casual or more committed sexual encounters, basically. So, yeah, it's definitely contributing as well. It's not just porn here. It's how everything seems to be, you know, combining together to make everything more, you know, sort of anonymous and less accountable and less of a sense that, you know, we've got each other's backs, basically.
So what are the options? So there's sex negative, sex positive.
What we've got instead is this like kind of newest idea is aiming to be sex critical. And this is an idea from a sexologist called Lisa Downing. So basically this is about moving away from this negative positive binary and instead taking a critical lens on all forms of sex and representations of sex. And so critical is not necessarily saying that we're like coming down on it. We're just saying that we're going to be evaluating it, you know, so that we can be just as critical of sex advice as we can of porn, as we can of more heteronormative sex, as we can be critical of kink. You know, so it's basically not putting it's not like having these categories of good and bad.
Yeah.
And more being clear about how to engage with the people involved and make sure that people are safe and consensual and have that education around that, so that we're not shaming individual people, but also looking at systems in place that are make it more difficult for some people to be involved.
How would you think parents should be dealing with kids around all of this sex positive stuff and sex negative? And how, what's your advice there?
Just talk to them, talk to kids. A lot of kids are going to have way more information probably than you do as a parent. They've grown up around this stuff. They've grown up around sex being, you know, starting digitally for sure. And so just being able to have as many open conversations as you can. You don't need to pretend that you know everything, but you can certainly, you know, make it clear to your children that you are as safe a space as possible, and that they can come to you and talk to you about these things, and that you don't judge them or immediately tell them what they're doing is wrong. You might be frightened for them, but you can express that and say, you know, I'm fearful about this thing that you're telling me that you're doing or that you're into, or I'm worried about this. Can we talk about safety? Can we talk about how you're communicating with your partners and your friends? And basically providing that sort of space, which I think is the best hope we have of having people feel safer to be able to talk about what's going on and be able to evaluate for themselves what it is that they need and how they can feel safe and comfortable and happy.
So for anybody out there that wants more info, any decent resources to read and follow?
Yeah, for sure. So a great one is Enjoy Sex, How, When and If You Want To, which is it's a practical and inclusive guide by Justin Hancock and Meg John Barker. Meg John Barker has loads of great books about sex. And then another one is called The Right to Sex by Amir Srinivasan. That's a great set of essays. That's a fantastic book as well. And there's just, you know, basically just Google sex critical feminism, and you know, and even just looking at sex positivity, there's so many Instagram accounts around this, and you know, you can't necessarily know just from clicking onto something that it's going to be the right advice or the right advice for you, but certainly getting more information, educate yourself. You can go out, just Google this stuff and you'll find loads.
And I suppose just after, you know, the whole sex positivity, sex critical, the biggest thing is it's really all about consent and communication, isn't it? They're the two big things, whatever way you're trying to navigate, when you're navigating this weird and wonderful world, they're the two biggest things, aren't they? Really, you should always consider and always focus on.
Yeah, and learn how to do them. You know, this is
properly,
a big one,
yeah.
Because, you know, you might remember back in December, only 2 months ago, the singer Billie Eilish, who was 19 at the time, she went on the Howard Stern show, the talk show host, and she talked about how watching porn from the age of 11, she feels, has destroyed her brain. You know, she said, you know, at the time when she was that young, it made her feel like one of the guys. And now that she's 20, she feels that it massively twisted her expectations and understanding of sex. She said, you know, that the first few times that she had sex, she wasn't saying no to things that just weren't good, that didn't feel good to her, that were probably, you know, unsafe or potentially borderline abusive by the sounds of it, because she thought that that's what she was supposed to be into, supposed to be attracted to, because that's all she'd seen. And obviously those conversations were, you know, not being had. Not that I think this is only down to parents. Obviously a huge amount of this needs to be about massive reformation for sex education in schools, but that, you know, we're just not having enough conversations about how to go about consent. You know, great if it's an idea that's out there, but there needs to be lots of classes and conversations and like workshops for people to be able to practice what it's like in real time, talking to each other and saying the things that you like and don't like, the things that you haven't tried but you'd like to try, having safe words with each other, and being able to respectfully say no, to be able to, for having especially men being able to accept a no as a positive thing, because you don't want to be having sex or doing things with someone who doesn't want to be doing them. So rather than having your ego be wounded, being able to accept that as a very positive thing for someone to say, no, I don't want to do that, or I want to stop, or whatever it is. So that's where we need to go.
Rachel Cook, thank you so much. That is Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook at the E on the end. And she will be back next week to talk about autosexuals and it's not going at it in the backseat of a hatchback. You can tune in next Wednesday after 11 around the same time. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.